that can train him. And there was an old man by the name of Mickey. And he finally can convince Mickey to train him to fight Apollo Creed. And when the fight was going on, Apollo was jabbing Rocky. Apollo was giving Rocky right crosses. He got to the corner. He said, "Mick, I don't believe I can win this fight." Mickey said, "Son, I didn't hear no bell. What I'm trying to tell you, he's not a machine. He's just a man. You are more man than he is. Rocky, just remember what I taught you." And Rocky went out remembering what Mickey taught him. He began to swing at the right time. He began to duck at the right time. And the next thing you know, Apollo was on the ground. Let me tell you about my personal experience. I got in the ring with evil and trials. I was giving up because the devil, he kept on right crossing me. The devil kept on gut punching me. And when I got to the corner, the Holy Ghost told me, I said, "I can't win." He said, "Don't worry, he's still God's creation. You are better than he is. When you was on your knees, I told you it was going to be all right. When you shouted in church, I told you you were going to win." So I got out of my corner. I was waiting on the bell to sound. Satan came at me, but y'all know what I threw at him. "I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not to my own understanding. In all our ways, I will direct our paths." Y'all want to know what else I threw at him? I threw this: that the Lord so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believed in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life. And I wonder right now, do you feel your victory? I wonder right now, can you shout in your victory? I wonder right now, can you stand up with pain in your body and say, "Victory, it is mine. Ah, it's mine, all mine." You want to know why I know? It was at the cross where I saw the light. It was at the cross where my burden rolled away. Is there anybody here right now can shout with me? Say, "Every step I make, every step I make, the Lord, he make a way. Ah, he made a way. Ain't he good?" Say it. Say it! Say it! Ah, he will! Ah, he will!
Guaranteed. Guaranteed victory. I'm dedicated. I'm determined. I'm delivered. And when I have that, Satan, there's no room for you here. Don't determine your victory by the absence of external conflict. I'm victorious even while I'm in it. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were here, God didn't keep us from the furnace. He gave us victory inside of it. The doors of the church are open. And if you're here this morning, you ought to come while the blood is running warm in your veins.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
To pay you, but I want to just say I want to thank you, Lord. Everybody standing, come on. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We want to thank you. I could have been dead and sleeping in my grave, but Lord, you kept me. You made my enemies behave. Oh, I want to say, I just want to thank you. Thank you, Lord. And I don't know if this is everybody's testimony, but for me, he's been so that word so is an incalculable word. It's an indescribable word. You've been so good. Oh, you've been so good. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I just want to say wanna thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been better to me than I've been to myself, Jesus. Somebody's gonna catch this wave. Before we finish, come on, don't let it pass you by. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. I want to say, I just want to, I really want to thank you. I really want to thank you. Hallelujah. Now let's give God a resounding round of applause. Hallelujah. in the book of Psalms, the 69th number. Psalm 69. And I want to call your attention to verse 30. And we will read through verse 32. The 69th number of the book of Psalms. Verse 30 says, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Verse 31 says, this also shall please the Lord, better than an ox or bull, which has horns and hooves. Verse 32, the humble shall see this and be glad. And you who seek God, your hearts shall live. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray that you will speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people that will remind us that you are God, you are good, you are gracious, and you are merciful, and you are God all by yourself. We thank you for these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, ushers. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from the subject, I will magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. Amen. I will magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. There's a story about this 9-year-old boy named Charlie. Charlie is seated at the Thanksgiving dinner table with his family, and he has been called upon to give the blessing of the food. Charlie begins his prayer by thanking God for his family and friends, and he names each and every one of them. Then he begins to pray for the food. Amen. He mentions every single item on the table by name. In the spirit of Shirley Caesar, beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lambs, rams, and hogs. Then he prays for the special guest at the table, and that is the turkey. He says, thank you, Mom, for cooking the turkey. Amen. He says, I'm thankful for the car that brought the turkey home from the grocery store. I'm thankful for the man at the grocery store who bagged our groceries and carried them to the car. And I'm thankful for the truck driver who brought the turkey from the turkey farm to the grocery store. Charlie said, I'm thankful for the farmer who raised the turkey. And by now, his family is wondering if his prayer will ever end. He paused for just a moment, amen, and under his breath, he said, let's see, have I left anybody out? And his little brother, Billy, says, amen. Well, you've thanked everybody but God. And Charlie said, I was getting to him. The moral of the story is that, yes, we should be thankful for our family, for our friends, and for all of the people that have been a blessing in our lives. But we must never forget that ultimately we owe our debt of gratitude to our Heavenly Father. Because, and I know I have witnesses here today who will testify with me, God is the true source of all the blessings in our lives. The Bible tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. David writes, I will bless the Lord with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. That tells me, my brothers and sisters, that praise and thanksgiving go together. That tells me that praise and thanksgiving are the hallmarks of every true child of God. As God's people, our lips ought not be filled with whining and complaining and grumbling and groaning, but our lips ought to be filled with thanksgiving and praise. I want to focus our attention for just a moment this morning on that 30th verse that says, I will magnify him with thanksgiving. The first thing that David tells us, he says, I will magnify him. By him, David, of course, is referring to God. Amen. He says, I will magnify him. I will magnify God. You know, the Bible talks a lot about magnifying God. As a matter of fact, in the 16th verse of the 40th number of the book of Psalms, the writer says, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. And then in the third verse of the 34th number of the book of Psalms, the writer says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Now, this brings up a very important question, and that question is simply this: what does it mean to magnify the Lord? Well, for those of you who took science and you took 101, amen, science, you may remember that there are two types of magnification. One type of magnification is microscopic magnification. Think of looking at tiny little cells under a microscope. What you're doing is making something that is very small look much bigger than it really is. But then the other type of magnification is telescopic magnification. Think about looking at the moon or looking at the stars through a high-powered telescope. You're not making them appear bigger than they already are. What you're doing is magnifying the true wonder of those heavenly bodies and looking at them in all of their splendor and all of their glory. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that when David says, I will magnify the Lord, he doesn't mean I will make a small God look much bigger than he really is. That is not what he's saying. He's saying, in other words, that I will magnify the true greatness of the Lord so you can see him in all of his splendor and in all of his glory. And my brothers and sisters, as children of the Most High God, that should be our greatest aim in life. That is to magnify the Lord so that others can see how great he is, so that others can see how good he is, so that others can see how awesome he is. Do you know what? Our words ought to magnify the Lord. Do you know what? Our actions ought to magnify the Lord. Our habits ought to magnify the Lord. Our priorities ought to magnify the Lord. As John the Baptist said of Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease. As you and I grow in the Lord, people ought to see less of us and more of him. They ought to see less of us and more of him. Is there anybody here who understands that when you magnify God on your job, folk will understand that God is bigger than their problems, that God is greater than their sickness? Is there anybody here who understands that when you magnify God in your home, your children ought not run to drugs, but when they see mama magnify God, when they see father magnify God, they will understand that we serve a God who's bigger than our greatest problem. Is there anybody here today who has discovered that when we magnify God, not only will others appreciate how powerful he is and how awesome he is, but something will happen on the inside of you. Something will happen in your spirit that such that you will stop telling God about your problems and you will start telling your problems about your God. He's more than able. He's an awesome God. He's a wonderful God. Give him praise in this place. David tells us that we ought to magnify the Lord. But then he tells us in the B part of that 30th verse, he tells us that we ought to magnify him, watch this, with thanksgiving. How much does our thanksgiving mean to God? I'm so glad you asked, and David knew you were going to ask, and that's why he tells us in the very next verse, in verse 31, he says, this also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull. Y'all, what is he saying there? He's saying that our thanksgiving means more to God than our sacrifices. He's telling us that our thanksgiving means more to God than the sacrifice of our time, than the sacrifice of our talents, more than even the sacrifice of our treasure. Our giving is important, but it is a thankful heart that magnifies God more than the money we put in the offering plate. Our faithful church attendance is important, but it is a thankful heart that magnifies the Lord more than our physical presence in a church pew. Do you understand that there are some folk who come to church every Sunday? They break down the doors every week for Bible study and prayer service, but because they really don't appreciate all that God has done, it might have been better for them to stay at home. Do you know what? When you are thankful, something happens. When you're truly grateful, something happens. When you really appreciate what God has done, it improves, it enhances the quality of your praise. I wish I had one or two witnesses here who can testify that I might not be able to hold a note in a bucket, but when I get to thinking about how good God has been to me, you might look at me and say that I'm off key and all of that, but is there anybody who understands that God will appreciate your praise better when it comes out of a heart of gratitude? So when you hear me sing the song, I got so much to be grateful for. I ain't trying to impress you. I'm not trying, amen, to make anybody shout. I just want God to know that I appreciate everything you've done for me. Can I tell you why I appreciate all that God has done? Because if the truth would be told, I did not deserve any of it. If the truth would be told, if it had been left up to justice, I should be dead and in my grave and on my way to a devil's hell. But I'm happy and I'm grateful because he looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. And there are two or three folk up in here who need to get off of your high horse. You know, we get caught up in our degrees and our titles and all of that stuff, and we forget that we didn't deserve any of it. It was the grace of God. It was the mercy of God that set me up for blessing. Where are my folk who will testify that all that I have, he gave me. All that I've been able to do, he allowed me to do it. Give him praise in this place. It's a thankful heart that God appreciates even more than our good deeds. They are important to God, but it's a thankful heart that magnifies the Lord more than our good deeds. Amen, amen. I know I'm in Bible country because the Bible repeatedly stresses the importance of giving thanks to God. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. If that's not good enough for you, you ought to underline it. You ought to highlight Colossians 3 and 17, where it says, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then the text that we shared with you last Sunday, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Thanksgiving ought to permeate our speech. Thanksgiving ought to permeate our songs. Thanksgiving ought to permeate our prayers. Thanksgiving ought to permeate our worship. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. I don't want to go over it again, but in Bible study, I reminded you how we came to be. I told you how there was an archangel for the word. There was an archangel, amen, for warfare. And then there was an archangel for worship. His name was Lucifer. But Lucifer got beside himself and thought he was better than God. And God kicked Lucifer out of heaven. And God said, I'm not going to raise up another archangel, amen, to worship me. God said, I will make for myself a people to give me the praise. And so whenever you refuse to open your mouth and say, God, I thank you, whenever you refuse to give him praise, you are not handling your responsibility the way you ought to handle it. God has put a song in your heart and you ought to sing it. God has put a praise in your spirit and you ought to praise him. God has been good to us. We ought to be grateful. Thanksgiving. Do you know that when you and I express thanksgiving daily, not only does it magnify the Lord in our own hearts and minds, but it also magnifies the Lord in the minds of those who don't know him. I heard Minister Lacking in her prayer, amen, ask God to help us to always be mindful of the fact that we ought to be evangelizers, that we ought to be witnesses, amen. And let me tell you, see, sometimes folk don't witness because they think they have to know all the books of the Bible. They think they have to know the major prophets from the minor prophets, and they have to know eschatology and all of that. But it doesn't take all of that for you to evangelize. It doesn't take you going to seminary for you to be a witness. In order to be an effective witness for God, all you need to do is tell your story. Oh, I wish I had somebody up in here, amen, who doesn't mind admitting, you know, Pastor, I didn't get saved like you. See, some of us got saved in church on a Sunday morning. But if we had testimony service right now, there would probably be somebody who could come up and say, Pastor, my conversion happened in a jailhouse. Pastor, my conversion happened on my sick bed. Is there anybody here who can appreciate the story that God has given to you? The fact that he saved you in spite of you, the fact that he brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light, you ought to show some gratitude by telling your story. God is so good, y'all. God is so generous. Amen, amen. You just think about some of the stuff God has done for us. When you look out into the sky at night, understand that God could have just blessed us with, oh, maybe 1,000 stars in the sky. But when we look out there, and if you can't see it because of the physical light around, you ought to appreciate what scientists say. Scientists say that there are some 70 sextillion stars. That's a 7 with 22 zeros behind it. Amen. I'm trying to show you how generous God is. He could have just given us one galaxy. You know, we live in the, what, Milky Way galaxy. But scientists tell us that there are billions of galaxies out there. And the physicist Stephen Hawking said that the universe is constantly expanding. Do you know that God did all of that? He could have just given you a little. Amen. Think about the flowers in your garden. God could have given us just hundreds of species of flowers. But scientists tell us that there are over 270,000 known species of. I'm trying to show you how generous God is. Amen. Some of you have one child and you are thankful for your one child, but some of you got 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 children. I'm talking about how generous God is. But not only that, think how generous God has been to you. Come on, come on. It's when we mess up over and over and over again, and God shows us that he has more mercy than we have mess. Am I by myself in here today? Come on. It's when we warrant penalty and punishment, but God turns around and instead of giving us, amen, penalty and punishment, he gives us provision and plenty. Somebody ought to tell him thank you. Amen, 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 amen. If you've lived 30 years, you ought to tell God thank you. If you've lived 40 years, you ought to tell God thank you. And then there are some in this room, like my own mother, who can thank God for 90 years. There are some in this room, like Deacon Sewell, who can thank God for 101. I'm trying to let us see that God